The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. While some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And they asked him, "Teacher, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "See that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and 'The time is at hand.' Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified. For these things must first take place, but the end will not be at once." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and pestilences, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it therefore in your minds, not to meditate beforehand how to answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake. But not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance you will gain your lives. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart, and let not those who are out in the country enter it. For these are days of vengeance, to fulfill all that is written. Alas, for women who are pregnant, and for those who are nursing infants in those days. For there will be great distress upon the earth, and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword, and be led captive among all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations and perplexity, because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. O Lord, have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. These words from Malachi reflect a biblical description of Judgment Day. And Malachi isn't alone in prophesying of that day with vivid and terrifying images. The prophet Zephaniah writes, "A day of wrath is that day, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring distress on mankind, so that they shall walk like the blind, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like dung, Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them on the day of the wrath of the Lord. In the fire of his jealousy, all the earth shall be consumed. For a full and sudden end he will make of all the inhabitants of the earth. Now, of course, if you are secure in your righteousness, if you are sure that you've never given God any reason to classify you as arrogant or an evildoer, that you've never done anything to deserve his wrath, then these prophecies won't disturb you. Of course, you'd be a fool to think God didn't have a reason to classify you as arrogant or an evildoer. But if you thought that way, these prophecies wouldn't disturb you. On the other hand, if your conscience is at all intact, if you have even the smallest awareness that you've not always loved God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself, then these words of the Lord through his prophets will rightly capture your attention and prompt some fear. Fear of the righteous wrath of an almighty God. Fear of some sort of world-ending cataclysm is the staple of popular novels in our day and of entertainment produced by Hollywood. Great earthquakes and famines and pestilences, devastating tsunamis and superstorms, nuclear annihilation, asteroids crashing into the earth, even alien invasions play into the fantastic scenarios of world-ending, or at least civilization-ending, catastrophe. And reading the prophets or some sections of the New Testament, there may actually seem to be biblical warrant for the images committed to screen or print. There are a few significant problems with these popular portrayals, though. The first thing is that they tend to leave God entirely out of the picture. That's something the Bible never does. Whether the end of the earth is portrayed as the foundations of creation crumbling and falling into the sea, or as a destruction of everything with fire, both of them biblical images, one thing is always clear. The end will not be the result of human actions, global warming or nuclear war, or mere chance occurrences, some wayward asteroid. No, as the scriptures present it, the world will end at a time God has appointed and as a direct result of his own actions. It will not be an accident, and no one will force his hand. A second problem with popular portrayals of the end of the world is that they never include as a central feature God's wrath over human sin. Judgment Day is so named because when God calls an end to this earth, he has said that he will judge all the living and the dead. On that day, some will receive everlasting life, others shame and everlasting contempt. And whatever judgment any individual receives, God's righteousness will finally be vindicated and evident for all to see. On that day, the wicked will not prosper, and the tribulation of the righteous will be over forever. A third problem is based on a misunderstanding of today's gospel reading. There is a sense, I suppose, in which wars and rumors of wars and great earthquakes and famines and pestilences, you can think COVID-19 if you'd like, are signs of the end. They certainly point out the impermanence of so much of what seems stable and enduring. But Jesus actually says, these things must first take place, but the end will not be at once. They are only the beginning of the birth pains. All of these things, so often described as signs of the end, might more accurately be identified as signs that the end is not yet. You will have noted that besides addressing the end of the world, Jesus also addressed the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple in today's text. That destruction occurred in the year 70, just as Jesus describes it. The temple was leveled, and there was great distress. The Christian community, however, was mostly unharmed because it had heeded Jesus' warnings and fled from the city before it was surrounded by the Roman army. The most important problem with popular portrayals of the end, though, and with many allegedly religious portrayals as well, is that they leave out redemption. See that you are not led astray, Jesus says. Not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, and Jesus is talking here about endurance in the faith, by your endurance, you will gain your lives. On the night in which our Savior was betrayed, he taught his disciples, in the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. This is the same message as the one he gave a few days earlier in our text. Jesus doesn't sugarcoat the truth. You and I may well experience fearsome things in this world, but so long as you trust in him, so long as you are not led astray, not even a single hair on your head will perish. He will save you, body and soul, even down to the last strand of your hair. Your life, which may well be forfeit here because you trust in him, your life will nevertheless be yours forever. For though you die, you will live and proclaim in all eternity the saving deeds of the Lord, your Savior. There's no doubt about it. Much that Jesus describes concerning what is to come is frightening. There will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity, because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Many have good reason to fear the coming of the Son of Man, for his coming will reveal what they have tried to hide. And at his coming, their shame will be revealed. They will experience everlasting contempt. But not you. In Christ, you have nothing to hide. You have been baptized, buried with Christ in his death, and raised with him to newness of life. The life you now live in the flesh, you live by faith in the Son of God, who loved you to death, even death on a cross, and gave himself for you. According to Christ's own word and commission, you have been declared forgiven, set free from sin, made holy, righteous in God's sight. The same one who in the beginning said, "Let there be," and there was, also says, "I forgive you all your sins. Therefore, you are forgiven." And the blood of Jesus, God's Son, blood which he gives you Sunday after Sunday at his altar, blood by which he joins himself to you, the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses you from all sin. So besides saying, "And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory," Jesus also says to you, "Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up, raise up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." Straighten up and raise up your heads. The end is coming. That means that Jesus, your Savior, is coming. Your redemption is near. Fearful things may come your way in this world. That's to be expected. Jesus warned us that it would be so. But one thing you don't need to fear is the end of the world and the final judgment. You don't need to fear, because Jesus has already endured the wrath of God for your sin. There's no punishment remaining to be carried out. It is finished. Now the coming of the end has become a cause for joy, for it means that your redemption is near. Your Jesus is coming. Coming to take you to be with him in eternal righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. And so the church prays, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly." Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.